Good afternoon, Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. The recent cold snap in the Northern Plains is concerning for crops already in the ground. North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network Director Darrell Richeson says several locations in northern North Dakota and Minnesota dip down into the upper teens. Most of the region will see another hard freeze Tuesday morning before the temperatures start to warm.
Now, with it being so bitterly cold, you know, soil temperatures are dropped back down into the 40s, and of course, in some instances, even into the 30s because of the cold. Now, they do pop up a little bit with the heating of the sun in the afternoon, but that's not really a good measure of the actual soil temperatures. I always like to really measure those in the morning. Gives you more of a sense of what the overall daily average is. And with the colder temperatures and then probably some rain on Wednesday, I really don't see much of an improvement in those soil temperatures until maybe later this weekend or especially next week when the warmer air seems to be moving in a little bit more permanently.
The latest U.S. drought monitor shows abnormally dry conditions for the western half of North Dakota. Richeson says to some degree that's accurate, but there are exceptions.
The far southwestern part of the state, you get down by Bowman and Hettinger, they did actually get quite a bit of moisture in the last week. The more the northwestern part of the state has gotten some, but they have been generally near, if not below average on moisture, whereas the east has been a little bit closer to average. And then depending on where you take that average, you know, clearly last week was above average, but the west being drier, you know, they've been just as cold. I know they've had problems out there with the alfalfa that has come up that has freezed in some of the areas with the winter wheat, depending on if it came back. You know, the cold has impacted them in different ways because they've been a little bit drier.
Seth Vanderhoff, commercial sugar beet sales manager Nick Revere, is not too worried about the frost and freezing temperatures that have impacted the valley sugar beet crop just yet.
I'd be more concerned with Southern Men. They started planting on Good Friday, so theirs have been in, 6 weeks already. I think that the cotyledon beets, we don't have a lot of beets with the true leaf yet. So those cotyledon beets can take a little bit more cold once we start getting into true leaf. And also with the ground as wet as it is, it's going to take a lot of cold. That wet ground will hold a lot of temperature. And as long as those beet leaves are close to the ground, it doesn't get quite as cold right to the ground. Anything up in the air, yeah, we're freezing.
Revere says excessive moisture is a bigger concern.
We need some heat. So we can get this ground dried out. The planting progress has slowed way down because the good ground, the ground that was tiled, the ground that got worked last fall, that's in now. Now we got to start waiting for some of the wetter ground, the stuff that was really wet last fall. It doesn't seem like it's dried up a whole lot over winter. So it's going to be a long drawn out process until we start getting some high 60s and some 70 degree weather.
Commodity Risk Management Group market analyst Jenny Wackershauser says the wheat market has been range-bound, driven by international news.
So if we hear any news coming out of Russia one way or the other, that seems to drive our market as much as anything. We're getting, again, the cold weather snap maybe a little bit supportive here in the short term until we find out really how much effect we had on that. So we're seeing some moves, but nothing, no big news to drive us either way. So we're kind of staying in our normal range.
Wackershauser doesn't expect much market reaction to the freezing temperatures that occurred over the weekend.
I haven't seen yet this morning any concrete reports on how much really soybeans was the biggest concern and how much was really emerged. Maybe a little bit in central Illinois. For the most part, it sounded like anything that had not emerged, it shouldn't be too much of an issue. We're also early enough in the year. We have plenty of replanting time, so I don't know as long term that would be a big effect on these markets.
The USDA will release its weekly crop progress report this afternoon. Traders are forecasting the U.S. corn planting progress at 70 to 72% complete. If realized, this would be an increase of at least 19 percentage points. Traders are also watching how spring wheat planting progressing. Spring wheat planting is forecast at 55% complete, an increase from the previous week at 29 percentage points. Soybean planting in the U.S. is expected at 38 to 40% complete. That, if realized, would be an increase of nearly 17 percentage points from the previous week.
With most traders expecting a very bearish new crop corn carryout number in tomorrow's supply-demand report, Kleist Commodities market analyst Jacob Burke says market stability is the key.
Well, I think, if you just look at the corn market just by itself, I mean, you've seen what could be starting as a U-shaped bottom. And sideways movement during these reports, during these planting seasons, not a bad thing. You got to find some stability here before we go straight up. I don't think this is going to be something that recovers quickly.
Burks expects the corn carryout number to get much of the attention.
You got a huge number to deal with in ethanol, of how they adjust that, and I'm kind of curious how the USDA will handle that going into the report. But this planting number, in the heart of the Midwest, heart of the Corn Belt, went very fast, very good, cold temperatures, but it all went in pretty nice and easy. Very curious of what kind of number they come out of there. I'm afraid that number on that 2021 carryout could be pretty big.
The North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame has announced its 2020 class of Hall of Fame inductees. The North Dakota Stockmen's Association will be recognized with a special achievement award. Black Lake Ranch of McKenzie, North Dakota will receive the Ranch Award for the Modern Era. The entire slate of awards will be presented June 20th in Medora. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending May 7th shows corn inspections 1% less than the previous week at 1.33 million metric tons, but 33% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 496,500 tons are 30% more than the previous week, but 9% less than last year. With just a couple of weeks left in its marketing year, wheat inspections were down 42% from the previous week at 340,000 tons and 61% below the same week a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are down 31%, soybean inspections are up 5%, and wheat inspections are 2% ahead of last year's pace, with the wheat marketing year ending May 31st.
Well, as of last week, the Farm Service Agency received close to 800 WIP Plus program applications from Minnesota farmers. Minnesota Farm Service Agency State Executive Director Joe Martin says so far, $9 million has been paid out.
Payments have been delivered to the sugar co-ops. That was a little bit different this time around in terms of delivering disaster assistance. But we have a lot of work to do on that program. We know that there's lots of producers who are eligible. So if you did experience an excessive moisture loss on any of your crops in 2018 or 2019, be sure to call the FSA office.
Martin says quality losses will come next in the program.
We have not seen any rulemaking on it yet. I think we'll see quality loss opened up in the coming months as they finalize those rules. But the reason why I think it got a little bit delayed here is with all attention really being paid to shifting to rolling out the new program for coronavirus relief, or we're calling the coronavirus food assistance program. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future, called the CFAP program, which the program to provide some direct financial assistance for livestock and crop producers who really were seeing these market impacts due to the coronavirus.
White House National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow said on Friday that formal negotiations on the next coronavirus relief package will not resume until late May or early June. The Trump administration will take a wait-and-see approach on further spending. Kudlow said the administration continues to have formal conversations with lawmakers.
A bipartisan group of senators are asking the USDA to help pork producers forced to depopulate herds in the COVID-19 pandemic. In a letter, the lawmakers request indemnity funds for the immediate crisis. Pork producers typically send more than 2 million pigs to market each week, and if 20% of processing is idle, lawmakers say around 400,000 animals per week must be disposed of other than processing. The lawmakers ask if the authority for programs at the USDA, rather they do ask the authority, should be done as soon as possible. Minnesota Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, North Dakota Senators John Hoeven and Kevin Cramer, along with South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds, have all signed the letter. Read more at rrfn.com.
A bill has been proposed to make it easier for small farms and ranchers to provide the locally produced meat to consumers. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer is one of the co-sponsors of that legislation. Cramer said four companies are responsible for 80% of the meat supply, and this bill protects the food supply.
China is proposing tariffs on Australian barley. A dumping margin of 74% and a subsidy margin of 7% for barley imported from Australia is proposed. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said he expects China to make its decision without connecting it to Australia's COVID-19.
Arcadia Biosciences has been awarded four patents for its Good Wheat portfolio. The patents include claims surrounding reduced gluten grains and the extended life of wheat. The non-GMO wheat varieties deliver more dietary fiber than traditional wheat. A friendly reminder, go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, and sign up for our weekly Farm Net Newsy newsletter. You can also download this broadcast, listen to podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The South Dakota FFA convention begins tomorrow. This year, the convention will be virtual, streaming on the South Dakota FFA Facebook page and website. South Dakota FFA state reporter Sadie Vanderwall says each of the three sessions will look different than usual, but the high energy will continue.
Still going to be recognizing our scholarship winners, our sponsors. Each night we'll have some messages coming from a national FFA officer as well as our keynote speaker that was scheduled. So it's going to be different. It's going to be really exciting and new for all of us.
The time is now is the theme for this year's convention.
We realize that the time is now to take action, to make a change, to make a difference on the world. And we look at our organization as, you know, it used to be called the Future Farmers of America. And we like to think of ourselves more as we're not the leaders of tomorrow, we're the leaders of today. Our members are making a difference in their communities right now more than ever. And during this global pandemic, the time is now to, you know, get up, get going, and keep on with life. And that theme is just something that we never realized how applicable it would be until right now.
The first general session begins tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at sdaged.org, or you can go to the RFN website, then there'll be links available there. The South Dakota State FFA convention coverage brought to you by South Dakota Farmers Union and the South Dakota Corn Council.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat up 4 3/4 at 5.20 3/4. July Chicago wheat down 2.5 at 5.19 1/2. July Kansas City wheat down 2.25 at 4.77 3/4. July corn down 1.5 at 3.17 3/4. December corn down 1.5 at 3.34 1/4. July beans up 4 3/4 at 8.55 1/4. November beans up 4 at 8.59 1/2. June live cattle down $2.45 at 92.20. May feeder cattle down $4.20 at 123.70. August down $3.92. May lean hogs down 85 cents at 66.45. June down $1.60. Be sure to check out the farm calendar. That's at rrfn.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.